All right, let's turn to Psalm 29 tonight. Psalm 29. I don't know when the last time I sang that song was, but that's a beautiful, beautiful song. I remember singing that a lot when I was a child. It sticks with you. Great, great truth. Psalm 29 will be our text this evening. And we will get here a picture of God's sovereign majesty. We'll see that He is the great ruler of all things. You know, we need reminders constantly because we are forgetful and we're finite. And sometimes we can be self-centered and keep our eyes, you know, on ourselves. And a psalm like this kind of shakes you a little bit, right? It kind of reminds you of who God is, because we are prone to linger here. We are prone to forget. And so let's read now David's Psalm of Sovereign Majesty. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in His temple, everyone says, glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as King forever. The Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Here, brethren, is a psalm of sovereign majesty. A great vision of God that we constantly need before us. The greatness of God's unrivaled sovereignty. And here the psalm calls for all creation, including, of course, the saints, to praise Him. And here we see that His reign extends to all things. Things in heaven, things on earth, the water, the angels, the people, the hills, mountains, all things under God's sovereign majesty. It is a song of confidence, and it gives for us a voice to give our praise. This is one of the beauties of the Psalter, right? Because sometimes, church family, the truth, we lack the language. We struggle with expressing our wonder at God's sovereignty, and God's greatness, and God's mercy. And so God gave us a hymn book and a prayer book. It's called the Psalter. And it drives us to the highest praise. So this psalm is David's psalm. It's my psalm. I hope it's your psalm, a psalm of praise, not for some local, yokel, little deity, which, by the way, is part of David's polemic here. You know, part of pagan religion is they believed in a plurality of gods, and he had the god of, you know, the sea and the water, and he had the god of you know, land, and you had the god of, you know, the weather, and the sun god, and then you had the moon god, and There's, of course, this conflict because they're all petty and they're arbitrary and they don't work together and it's just a great nightmare. And, of course, it is a lie. It's a polemic against pagan religion. You see, throughout this psalm, the Lord, L-O-R-D, capitals, it is Yahweh, not some local, yokel, little, silly, powerless deity worshipped by powerless little men carved out of stone, can't see, can't hear, can't feel, doesn't know. This is the one living and true God, worthy of our praise, worthy of our adoration. And here, this is so interesting to me. Here, David is watching a thunderstorm roll in. A thunderstorm roll in. Remember, well, it still happens to some of us probably, but remember the thunderstorms when we were kids and we were all so scared. And, you know, my hometown had a major tornado like the year before we moved there. And so the tornado alarms, everybody was jumping, the tornado alarms were always going off. And it meant Coke and Doritos for me, so it wasn't that bad. We went to the basement of my house, my grandparents, it was a party. But nevertheless, it was kind of scary, and thunderstorms were a source of fear. But here, see, for David, thunderstorms are not a source of fear. They are a source of wonder and worship. Because he heard in every thunderclap and saw in every bolt of lightning a theophany, an appearance of God. In other words, David saw as the lightning came down, not just some kind of naturalistic, you know, happening in this world, but he saw the very act of God. He knew that there was a God behind the storm. And so here David is worshiping the one that controls all things, including the weather. And his response is one of wonder and of worship and worship. David ascribes glory to God, the sovereign over all. You know, Paul, in his beautiful language of Ephesians 1, he works all things according to the counsel of his will, all things. Including in that, of course, are the angels in verses 1 through 2, thunderstorms in verses 3 through 9, the great flood of verse 10, and his people described in verse 11. He saw every thunderbolt as revealing something of the sovereignty and majesty of God, who decreed it and actively carries out his purposes in what we call providence. So, brethren, psalms like this remind us that the Lord sits as sovereign, orchestrating all the events that he has appointed, bringing them out to his appointed ends. And again, we saw in verse 11, he does this for the blessing, for the good of his people. So, a quick walkthrough. First of all, again, God is sovereign over all. He's sovereign over all. In verses 1 through 2, he is sovereign over all things in heaven. Give to the Lord, O you mighty ones, referring here to the angelic hosts. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. This is, of course, the great joy of the angelic host, is to worship God undivided by other things. Give intrinsic glory for the nature and character of God, and to ascribe strength, and to worship in the beauty of holiness. This, of course, is extolling the otherness and moral perfection of God. And so see again briefly that our God is sovereign over the heavens. He is also, we saw in verses 3 through 10, he is sovereign over all things on earth. Again, here David hearing the sounds of thunder and saying, that is the voice of the Lord. God is speaking through his creation. The sound of thunder proclaims, even preaches something about the supremacy of God. The voice of the Lord heard in that thunderclap. And in verse 3, in the waters, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. It's over the waters. This will be over the Mediterranean Sea. So you can picture here David. He's watching the storm kind of come in, right? He sees it coming over the Mediterranean Sea. Every clap of thunder reminding himself of the power and splendor and holiness and beauty and sovereignty of the Lord. And then in verses 5 through 7, the storm is now moving on to land. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian, like a young wild ox, the voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. So now the voice of the Lord, these thunderclaps clamping over the mountains of Lebanon, over Syrian, which is a Phoenician name for Mount Hebron. The point here, church family, is very simple. Even massive mountains that look fixed and unmovable, they also submit to God's sovereign control. He makes them skip, dance to the music of the rhythm of his thunders that he ordained and actively carries out. God does that. Now, for you little ones in the room, when you hear thunder at night and you get scared, be reminded that God is the one who makes it rain. Our crops need rain. We need rain to eat. We need rain to drink. And God is the one who brings storms. He has a purpose in these. So when you hear storm, instead of being afraid, be reminded God is speaking through that thunder. And then verses 8 through 9, we see the storm is now moving from north to south. We see here the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in this temple, everyone says, glory. This thunderstorm is still moving now from north to south. Again, David stands in wonder over the providence of God, who is guiding it from to its appointed destination and is carrying out his eternal decrees. See here the minutiae of details. When deer give birth, how sovereign is God? God is sovereign over everything. Every molecule, every speck of dust, every star in the sky, every cell in our body, every beat of our heart, every breath in our lungs, that's a gift of God. God did that. Your heart is beating. You're not doing it. It's just happening. God is carrying that out. It's this active providential hand upon this world. Is beautiful. Brethren, providence is wonderful and amazing. And this is a cause, of course, for God's people in his temple saying, glory, what else do you do? When you have a God who is sovereign over all things, minute things, massive things, eternal things, the only thing you could say is, glory be to God. It is a cause for worship. Now, Jewish believers understood that Yahweh, the Lord, the covenant-keeping God, is the creator and is in total control over his creation. So that, for example, in Mark chapter 4, when there's a massive storm on the Sea of Galilee and the waves are sloshing into the boat where Jesus and his disciples are on, and Jesus is asleep at the stern, and his disciples, who many of whom are, by the way, professional fishermen, they're panicking because this storm looks out of control. Teacher, don't you care that we perish? And when our Lord stands up and he rebukes the winds and the waves and he says, "Peace, be still," they looked at each other and said, "Who is this? That even the winds and the waves obey him. Who is this?" This is more than just a prophet. This is more than just a rabbi. This is more than just a local, yokel, small town, good guy. This is the voice of the Lord. This is the voice that controls waves. This is the one people would recognize later, maybe because of that event on that day. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art Yahweh." The voice of the Lord thunders. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." The voice of the Lord. Now, brethren, as we land here on our little message, look at when you think about God's providence, and when you think about how God is sovereign over all things, don't forget the truth that God has ordained the affairs of the world in such a way to be a special blessing to his church. So, you know, Romans 8:28, he's working all things, not just some things, occasional things. He's working all things together for good for those who what? Those who love him. For those who are called according to his purposes. And you see the end of our psalm. "The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." What a beautiful way to end our psalm in verse 11. "The Lord will bless his people with peace." Again, think of the gospel here. How does his people experience peace? Peace? What is peace? True peace is peace with God and then peace with each other. You don't get one without the other. Peace with God. How does one have peace with God? The one who stood on the fisherman's boat on the Sea of Galilee and said to those waves, "Be still," went to a cross and purchase the people for himself so that we can have peace with God. It's beautiful. It's stunning. It's wonderful. And it's true. And so let us always, always, always give glory to his name as we remember that our Lord Jesus humbled himself, took on flesh, lived a perfect life, did what the first Adam could not do, did not do. He lived a perfect life. Died for sinners like me, the chief of sinners, rose again from the grave, sit at the right hand of Father, of his Father. Our Father, we like our brother David, are amazed by sovereign majesty. We acknowledge that our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. And our Lord, we stand amazed at the sovereign grace of our Lord Jesus, who humbled himself, took on flesh, died for sinners like us. We humble ourselves as we think about how you ordained all things in a way to bring you glory and ultimately to do your people good, eternal good, spiritual good. You blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But we thank you for your covenant love for your people. Father, we thank you that you chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless, that in love you predestined us. Our Lord Jesus, we thank you that you purchased us by your own blood, not with gold and silver which perishes, but by the precious blood of the Lord. Spirit of living God, we thank you and give you praise that you called sinners out of darkness. For we were once lost, and we were once blind, and we once were dead in our trespasses and sins. But now we can say along with the Apostle Paul, but God, who's rich in mercy, because the great love with which he loved us, even while we were dead in our trespasses and sins, you showed us grace. Praise be to God. Lord, as we break up into our groups tonight and we pray, and as we lay in our beds and as we go about the rest of our week, help us, Lord, always be cognizant, to be aware that the covenant-keeping God, he saved us, he calls us his own children, and he's promised, I am always with you, even till the end of the age. Help us, Lord, to live in that great awe that David had on that fateful day of the storm. Lord, help us to live there, we pray. Help us to pray, knowing these things are true, knowing we're praying not to some local, small, man-made contraption, but to the sovereign. Help us, Lord. We pray our prayers will be transformed by these truths. Bless us now, we pray, in our groups. We pray, Lord, that as we lift each other up, you give us a boldness to approach your throne of grace, knowing that you love us and that you hear us. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.